Thank you for joining with us on this 13th day of October. Today we begin reading from the book of Mark. I invite you to get your Bible and turn with us to Mark, and we'll read the first three chapters. Let us remember, as always, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And before we read from the Gospel according to Mark, we're going to talk just a little bit about what we read yesterday as we finished reading the book of Matthew. Yesterday we read about the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord. And the resurrection of Jesus proved that He is our eternal King. And it proved that His kingdom shall see no end. Jesus spoke and said unto them, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And He gave us the Great Commission. He said, "Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the most important event that we read about in all of Scripture. Yesterday we also read about Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Him. And when Judas saw that Jesus was condemned, Judas felt remorse. And he brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and to the elders. And he said, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood." And Judas knew that Jesus was an innocent man. He knew that there was nothing that Jesus was guilty of. He had spent enough time with Jesus to know that Jesus was not a sinner. He was the only sinless man who had ever lived. And Judas threw down those pieces of silver before those high priests, and he departed, and he went out, and he hanged himself, those chief priests and those elders. And Judas felt that remorse. They said, "What is that to us?" And the chief priest, they took those pieces of silver that Judas had thrown on that floor. And they said, "It's not lawful for us to put this money back into the treasury, since it is the price of blood." And so they took counsel, and they bought the potter's field with it. That is a field to bury transients. Therefore, that field was called the field of blood. And this was fulfillment of that prophecy that was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him upon whom a price had been set, whom some of the children of Israel priced, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me. And this 27th chapter of the book of Matthew, it describes for us how our Lord Jesus Christ was delivered into the hand of the Roman soldiers and the Roman government, into the hand of the Gentiles. The chief priests and the elders led him away to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. And of course, in this action, we see the hand of God. Isaiah the prophet tells us that our Lord and Savior was smitten of God. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." And Matthew had said earlier that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." That is, the punishment due for our sins was put upon Him. He suffered for our sins. He made the payment for our sins, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. And He did not suffer, and He did not die upon the cross, and He was not punished by God for His own sins, but He was punished for our sins. Indeed, the words of Jacob were fulfilled. The Messiah, Shiloh, has come. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. "My son, thou art gone up." He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And Judas Iscariot, he has one more proof of the sinlessness of our Lord, of the innocence of our Lord. He was innocent of every charge that was laid against him. If there was any living witness who could give evidence against our Lord Jesus Christ, if there was any enemy of his who could say that Jesus was a fake, that he was a fraud, it would have been Judas Iscariot. Judas was a chosen apostle of Jesus, but he was an enemy of Jesus. Jesus said, "Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil?" And that he spoke of Judas Iscariot. But Judas was a companion of Christ upon this earth. He saw Jesus in public, and he saw Jesus in private. Judas heard all of his teaching. If our Lord had done anything wrong, either in word or deed, Judas would have seen it. And Judas would have been happy to provide witness against the character of our Lord. He would have loved to have proved Jesus guilty. He could have excused his actions if he could have witnessed that Jesus was an offender, that Jesus was a sinner, that Jesus was an imposter. Judas would not have felt guilty for selling out an imposter. Judas would have not felt guilty for committing treason against a sinner. But he went before those chief priests and elders and said, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood." And as wicked as Judas was, he knew that Jesus was holy. He knew that Jesus was harmless. He knew that Jesus was innocent of all of the charges against him. He knew that Jesus was blameless. He knew that Jesus was truth. And Judas Iscariot was not at our Lord's trial. Judas, who had betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Judas was a thief. Judas was the treasurer of the group. He held the bag. And John the Apostle tells us that Judas was greedy for money. He was so greedy for money that he stole from the bag. Well, you know that if he could justly accuse Jesus of being a sinner, he would have done so to excuse his treachery. But Matthew tells us that Judas was filled with remorse. So he took the 30 pieces of silver back to the chief priest and back to the leaders. And he even told those priests, he said, "I have sinned." But tragically, this was not repentance unto salvation. The Bible says he repented to himself. Matthew chapter 27, verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. And we know that this was not repentance to salvation because afterwards Judas went and committed suicide. He had remorse, but he repented to the wrong person. It wasn't godly sorrow that he had. The chief priests and the elders, they didn't have any pity for Judas. They didn't have any pity for Jesus. Judas's remorse didn't trouble them. They had gotten what they wanted. They had gotten Jesus arrested. And they had gotten Jesus condemned to death and crucified. Judas regretted what he had done, but his repentance did not lead to conversion. He did not turn from his sin, but he died in his sin. And those chief priests said, "What is that to us?" They were pleased. They had gotten what they had wanted. They had hired Judas and they had paid Judas, and now they were done with Judas. And it's not that Jesus did not have the power to save Judas. He had the power to forgive and to convert and to bring repentance to the Apostle Peter, who denied him 3 times. He had the power to save the thief on the cross in the hour of his death. But that money that Judas earned in betraying Christ, that money brought him no pleasure. And that's what Solomon says. And let each one of us remember this and take this to heart. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Proverbs chapter 10. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. And money gotten by ill-gotten means will profit you nothing. And Judas was ashamed of what he had done. Judas heard all the teachings of Christ. But Solomon said, "He that being often reproved hardens his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Judas did his job. And now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "You say so, thou sayest." And there were false witnesses. there was false accusers, chief priests, and the elders. They accused him. And when they accused him, he said nothing. And Pilate said, "Don't you hear how many things they testify against you?" And he gave him no answer, not even one word. And the governor marveled that Jesus did not say one thing in his defense. And now at this time of the year, the Feast of the Passover, the Roman government would pardon a Jewish prisoner. And they did this for good politics. And so Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" Because he knew that Jesus was an innocent man. He knew that it was only because of envy that they had delivered him up. And also, while Pilate was sitting on the seat of judgment, his wife sent a message to him. And that message said, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." And Pilate was looking for a way to release Jesus. His wife had advised him to release Jesus. But the chief priest and the elders, they got the crowd to cry out that they wanted Barabbas released. And the governor said, "Which of the two do you want me to release?" And they said, "Barabbas." And Barabbas was a murderer. Barabbas was a robber. He just knew that given a choice, they would want that murderer to receive the death sentence and not Christ. But the crowd cried, "Barabbas! Pardon Barabbas!" And Pilate said, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" And they all cried, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" And they cried out louder, "Let him be crucified!" So Pilate knew that he could not convince them to allow him to release Jesus. And a riot was starting. So Pilate took some water and he washed his hands before the multitude. And he said, "I am innocent of the blood of this righteous person. You see to it." And all the people answered, "May his blood be on us and on our children." And then Pilate released to them Barabbas. And Jesus he had beaten. And he delivered him to be crucified. And how amazing this is. Jesus, the judge of the universe. One day the whole world will be judged by Christ. But he allowed himself to be judged and condemned. Though he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. And that was in fulfillment of the prophecies of Isaiah. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. And we read yesterday about the rich man, Joseph of Arimathea, taking Jesus' body and putting it in his own tomb. Pilate knew that Jesus had done nothing worthy of death. Pilate knew that for envy they had delivered him. If Pilate would have done what he knew he should have done, he would have dismissed the charges against our Lord and he would have let him go free. But Pilate, he had been appointed governor by the Roman emperor over these jealous, rebellious, violent people. And Pilate wanted to keep the peace. Pilate wanted to favor them. Pilate wanted to please them because he wanted to keep his job. Pilate wanted the praise of men. And though he was willing to save the life of our Lord, he did not want to do it if it would offend the Jews. He tried to divert the fury of the people from Jesus to a murderer, to Barabbas. And he tried to satisfy his own conscience by washing his own hands publicly before the people. But at last, he went against the advice of his wife. He went against his better judgment. And he condemned the only sinless, just person to death. He delivered Jesus to be crucified. But Pilate did try to get the chief priest and the elders to reconsider what they were doing. He gave them time to think about what they were doing. But the chief priest and the elders, they weren't interested in justice. If they were interested in justice, they would have not allowed that condemned felon named Barabbas to be released rather than Jesus. And the more Pilate tried to convince them, the more loudly they hollered for our Lord's crucifixion. Jesus was not a robber. Jesus was not a murderer. Jesus was not a blasphemer. Jesus was lover of man's soul. Jesus went about doing good. Jesus healed all those who were oppressed of the devil. Jesus was the only innocent person. He's the only one who never transgressed the law of God. And yet the Jews hated him, and they would not rest until he was slain. They hated him because he told them the truth. They hated him because he testified that their works were evil. They hated the light because they were in darkness. They hated Christ because he was righteous and they were wicked. They hated Christ because he was holy and they were unholy. They hated him because he testified against their sin. They hated him because they loved their sin and would not repent from their sin and would not let their sin go. And so those Roman soldiers took Jesus and they stripped him and they put a scarlet robe on him and they braided a crown of thorns and put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And they kneeled down before him and they mocked him and they said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spit on him and they took the reed and they struck him on the head and they led him away to crucify him. And they took him to a place called Golgotha, that is, the place of the skull. And there they gave him sour wine to drink mixed with gall. And when he had tasted it, he would not drink. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothing among themselves, casting lots. And they sat there and they watched him die. And they set over his head, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And there were two robbers crucified with him, one on his right hand and one on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him. They wagged their heads and they said, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself if you're the Son of God. Come down from that cross." And the chief priest, they also mocked. And the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders, they mocked and they laughed. They said, "He saved others, but he can't save himself. If he is the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross now. We'll believe him now if he'll come down from the cross. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him if he wants him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And we know why the wrath of God was poured out upon him. He died for our sins. The Apostle Paul said that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. All of the suffering that Christ received were vicarious. That is, he suffered not for his own sins, but he suffered for our sins. And that's a word, that's a good word, that we need to learn what it means, the vicarious suffering of our Savior. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He suffered for sin, the just for the unjust. He was made sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was made a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is anyone that hangeth upon the tree." He was offered to bear the sins of many. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. May we remember that word vicarious. May we remember what that word means. The sufferings that Christ endured upon the cross were vicarious. He is our substitute. He is our representative. He is our head. He is our surety. He is our proxy. He is the one who stood in our stead to purchase our redemption. He was scourged that through his stripes we might be healed. He was condemned that we might go free. He wore a crown of thorns that we might wear the crown of glory. He was stripped of his clothing that we might be clothed in his everlasting righteousness. He was mocked. He was reviled, that we might be honored and blessed. He was numbered among the transgressors, that we might be counted as innocent, that we might be declared justified from all sin. He could have saved himself from that. He could have called 12 legions of angels to deliver him from death, but he went through with that so that he might be able to save us to the uttermost. Our sins are many, our sins are great, but he has made a great atonement for every one of them. And there is so much about Jesus' crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection that we'll never be able to digest it all. When Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, all of his disciples forsook him and fled. And the disciples lived in fear until the resurrection. And the disciples doubted. They did not believe that he would actually rise from the dead. after the death of Jesus, his disciples were dejected. They were discouraged. They were defeated. They thought the death of Jesus meant the end. They had such high hopes that Jesus would cast off the Roman government and establish his kingdom right there in Jerusalem. They didn't understand that there was so much more scripture yet to be fulfilled. But after the resurrection, he showed himself to his disciples. They saw him. They talked with him. They touched him. They ate with him. And the early Christians went everywhere with the word of the resurrection. Those Roman guards were paid to say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. The elders, they gave those guards a large amount of silver to say that his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And they said to those guards, if this report comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and we will protect you. So those guards took the money and they did as they were paid to do. And these priests and these Pharisees and these elders, they couldn't rest. Even when they saw the dead body of Jesus taken off the cross and put in the grave, they remembered those words that he said something about rising again. And they thought that they could make his rising again impossible. They went to Pilate. And they got a guard of Roman soldiers that set a watch over the tomb. And they placed a seal upon the stone so they could tell if that stone was removed and somebody would steal his body. But what they didn't realize was all they did was provide evidence of the truth of Christ's resurrection. They actually made it impossible to prove that there was any deception. Their seal, their guard, their precautions, it's all witness to the fact that in a few hours, Christ rose from the dead. Their instruments, their devices to try to stop this miracle from happening and this miracle from being believed only became instruments to show the glory of God. Paul said, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Pilate, those chief priests, those Pharisees, those elders, the powers of this world are only tools in the hand of God in accomplishing his great salvation plan. God used them for his own purposes. Those things which seem to be against God and his plans and against us are all working together for God's glory. The disciples didn't see it then, but we see it now. David the psalmist said, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. And it's time now for us to have our prayer and read our scripture for today. Thank you, Lord, that you rose from the dead just like you said you would do. The grave could not hold you. And just as man could not stop your resurrection, just as man could not stop your ascension into heaven, neither can man stop your second coming. And we are to work until you come. You've given us the command to go into the ends of the earth and teach all nations, baptize all believers, and to observe all things that you have commanded. And you have promised that you will be with us until the end. And you always keep your promises. And we worship you today. Bless us as we read your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locust and wild honey. And preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast. And the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew, with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therewith came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightway charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man. Go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Mark chapter 2. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk, that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. And they come and say unto him, Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bridechamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. No man also seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filleth it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottle, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have you never read what David did when he had need and was a-hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Mark chapter 3. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth, and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him as many as had plagues. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. And he goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach, and have power to heal sicknesses, and to cast out devils. And Simon he surnamed Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the son of thunder, and Andrew and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. And they went into a house, and the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, He is beside himself. And the scribes, which came down from Jerusalem, said, He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him, and said unto them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sin shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies, wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said he hath an unclean spirit. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him, and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. And that completes our scripture reading for today. Thank you for joining with us. If the Lord wills, we'll be back with you tomorrow. And remember, until then, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.